Welcome, my friends, to the program. Glad you're with us. It's the Worldview Weekend Hour. I'm your host, Brandon House. I want to talk to you on today's program about last day's deception or biblical truth. I've been giving this keynote presentation around the country for the last few weeks, and I want to bring it to you tonight on this national television broadcast because I believe what has happened within evangelicalism in the last few weeks and months is actually been a seismic shift. I don't think most people realize how serious the situation has become within the, quote, evangelical community. Last day's deception or biblical truth. Before we get to the night's program, I want you to know it up front. Here's what we're going to discuss. The merging of religions, what is called syncretism. Religious beliefs that were not thought to be compatible that are now actually merging. We're going to talk about the rise of universalism. How about conservative talk show hosts that are embracing these ideas? Conservative Christian leaders, or self-professing conservative Christian leaders, and evangelicals, are they actually helping to set the stage for the coming one-world religion and a one-world leader? That's what we'll cover in tonight's program. Before we can understand the last day's deception, we first need to define some terms. If the topic tonight is last day's deception versus biblical truth, that raises the question right away. Well, what is biblical truth? Well, I think we have to turn to the Bible again for our answers if that's going to be the foundation of our worldview. And it certainly should. As Christians, the foundation should be the Bible. John 3:33, God says, God is true. So what is true? God is true. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In John 8:26, Jesus said, He who sent me is true. So again, God is true. Jesus is true. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that which is consistent with the character and nature of God is true. In John 17:17, we read where Jesus said, Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is true. So the Bible is true. Why is the Bible true? Because it is a reflection of God's character and nature. The Bible is what helps us to become sanctified. Sanctified means to be set apart for God's purpose. And I believe it is our obedience to God's word that sets us apart from the world system. The book of 1 John says that one of the signs or hallmarks of a true convert is one that does not love the world or the things of the world. In context, what that's saying is Christians, true converts, true followers of Jesus Christ, don't love the world system that's being ruled by Satan. And it is the truth of God's word that sets us apart from the world system. Another sign of a true convert is that we walk in biblical truth. Walking in biblical truth is a hallmark of true Christians. In fact, in these last days, one of the signs of a true Christian, a true convert, will be one that continues to walk in biblical truth even in the face of persecution. As deception grows, they will continue to walk in biblical truth and not follow the deception. Even in the face of persecution, they will continue to pursue biblical truth. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 5 says, Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The truth is not in him. What is true? Jesus is true. He's the way, the truth, and the life. That which is consistent with the character nature of God is true. Thy word is true. The Bible is true. It's a reflection of God's character and nature. And he who keeps God's commandments has truth. But the scripture telling us right here, and he does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Jesus himself told us that in the last days, false teachers, false prophets, and deception would greatly increase before his return. In fact, Jesus in Matthew spells out the fact that the last days will be filled with false teachers and false prophets. Here's what we read. Now, as he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. There's that reference again. He who endures to the end. In other words, he who continues to walk in biblical truth, who doesn't follow the false teacher or the false prophet, he who endures to the end, that's a sign that you're truly saved. Jesus goes on to say, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. What does Jesus mention more than wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, plagues? What's he mentioned more than anything else as a sign that we're living in the last days? It is false teachers, false prophets. Wow. In fact, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, Jesus says, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Another sign that we're living in the last days is that there will be many little Antichrists before the beast is revealed. So how can you identify a false prophet or a false teacher? I believe there are six ways to identify a false teacher, a false prophet. Number one, false teachers will look and sound like Christians. False teachers will look and sound like Christians. Number two, false teachers will produce fruit and doctrine that is anti-Christ. How do I know this? Well, look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 18. We read where Jesus says, be aware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Notice again here, Jesus is talking about their doctrinal fruit. I hear some people say, well, you need to judge this individual by the good things that they're doing. They're producing good fruit by the good deeds. Well, truly, we can look at someone's lifestyle and activities to determine whether or not they are walking in biblical truth, whether they are truly a follower of Jesus Christ or a false convert. That's true. But one of the most important tests for whether or not someone is a true convert of Jesus Christ is their doctrinal fruit. One of the major tests for whether someone is a false teacher or a false prophet is the fruit of their doctrine. And that's what Jesus is saying. Be aware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. So, folks, we need to be checking out people's doctrine, the fruit of their doctrine. So, again, one, a false teacher will look and sound like a Christian. Two, false teachers will produce fruit and doctrine that's anti-Christ. Three, false teachers like titles, such as prophet, apostle, prophetess, reverend. They love their religious titles. Now, this isn't to say that it's wrong for someone to be called reverend. Nothing wrong with that at all. But I want you to understand that many false teachers, many false prophets, those who are not preaching the Jesus of the Bible, those who are proclaiming another Jesus, another gospel, they like the title reverend, among other things like prophet, apostle, and prophetess. But think for a minute like Reverend Jesse Jackson. When is the last time you ever heard Reverend Jesse Jackson give a biblical gospel, give the biblical gospel, defend the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the only way, truth, and life? Have you ever heard Reverend Jesse Jackson do that? Have you heard him do that in the last few years? How about Reverend Al Sharpton? How about Reverend Jim Wallace? How about the emergent church guys like Reverend Rob Bell that has said a lot of heretical things, such as the gospel is represented in all the religions of the world? How about Reverend Brian McLaren, who says that the cross in hell is false advertising for God? How about Reverend Tony Campolo, Reverend Doug Padgett, Reverend Tony Jones? These are all part of the emergent church. They're caught up in uncritical tolerance, mysticism, and postmodernism, the belief that truth and reality are created by man, not by God. They love their titles, like reverend. But there's also those that are caught up in the dominion theology movement. This what's called the New Apostolic Reformation. This idea that we're going to elect enough Christians to office in America and around the world that we're going to have a theocratic Christian government. And when we have a totally Christian government worldwide, then God can return to earth. This is not defensible anywhere in the scriptures. In fact, the Bible tells us things are going to get worse and worse and worse. And it is part of the fall of man, the sin that entered into the world through the sin of Adam and Eve. And the solution, of course, is salvation through Jesus Christ, faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. But many within this dominion theology crowd, the new apostolic reformation movement, they like to be called prophet or apostle. By the way, to be called an apostle in the scripture, you had to have two criteria. Number one, you had to see the risen Lord. You had to see Jesus after his resurrection. The apostles, or the people who call themselves apostles today, they did not see the risen Lord. Secondly, you had to be handpicked by God. You had to be called by God, chosen by God. And today, many folks run around calling themselves apostle or prophet or prophetess, and it's totally unbiblical. In fact, these prophets in the scripture had to be 100% accurate. One wrong proclamation, and they could be put to death. They were to be put to death. Today, these people who call themselves prophets give all kinds of what they say are words from God, predictions, and they're wrong. This is one of the signs, the scripture says, of a false teacher. They love their titles. Where do we read this? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 through 15. For such are false apostles. There you go, false apostles. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Number four of our six characteristics, our six signs of a false teacher. Number four, false teachers deny the deity of Jesus Christ and the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. In other words, they don't believe Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man, the deity of Jesus Christ, God in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And they deny the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. They deny that Jesus is the only way, truth, and life, John 14, 6. How do we know this? Well, 2 John, verse 7 says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Remember a while ago when we said there'll be many little antichrists before the beast is revealed? One of the signs of an antichrist is they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. And of course, the Antichrist, the beast, will do the same thing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Number five, false teachers will have a form of godliness but deny God. We read this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, where it says, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now, the sixth and final characteristic I want to give you tonight of a false teacher or a false prophet or a prophetess is this. Number six, a false teacher will proclaim a false Jesus and a false gospel. They're going to proclaim another Jesus and another gospel. In fact, we're warned about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 through 4. But it says, but this is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. He says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Well, let's stop right there. Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, I'm so concerned that this false Jesus, this other Jesus, other than the one we have preached to you, will be so deceptive in the way it is proclaimed that you might be deceived. In fact, the deception will be just like the deception that Satan, in the form of a serpent in the Garden of Eden, used on Eve. So Paul is saying, be very careful, because there is going to come deception. And I'm concerned that you'll be led away from the simplicity that is in Christ. He goes on to say, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which we have not accepted, you may well put up with it. He's concerned that they won't recognize false teaching. He's concerned they won't recognize a false teacher who's proclaiming another Jesus and another gospel. And he's saying, look out, be aware.